You've crushed it. You've made millions. But let us ask you something. If you stop working today, how long would it all last? For most people, that answer, it's not great.
Right now, everything you have built, your house, your car, the vacations you love, relies on you. If you stop, the money stops.
That's exactly why we created a community for people just like you. No fluff, no hustle or energy, just real self-made millionaires helping each other create wealth that actually lasts.
Ready to build a legacy? Join us now at join.builtbeyondme.com and take the first step towards lasting wealth.
Imagine this, no more grinding for another 10, 15, or 20 years just to keep everything afloat. What if your wealth could start working harder than you do?
In our community, we'll show you how to invest in income-producing assets like multifamily properties and build-to-rent developments. No messy tenant management, no complicated learning curve, just real scalable wealth.
It's not about making millions anymore. It's about keeping it, growing it, and passing wealth beyond you.
Don't just make millions, make them last. Build a future, build freedom. Join our community now at join.wealthbeyondme.com. And that is join.wealthbeyondme.com.
In this video, I'm going to tell you the 7 things that you can do so that you don't raise spoiled, entitled kids who think the world owes them something. 7 decisions that can protect your legacy, your wealth, and more importantly, your kids' future.
I'm Pommy.
And I'm Nancy. Together we make the Kitty Sisters.
We're apartment syndicators, entrepreneurs, and educators with big dreams and a $300 million multifamily apartment portfolio.
We're into helping successful entrepreneurs and founders who have a passion for real estate and $100K to $5 million to invest, all aiming to turn their business profits into a lasting legacy through income-producing asset investment.
This is Cash Flow Multipliers, a podcast dedicated to your financial freedom and the lifestyle you deserve.
If you start doing these 7 things, you'll raise kids who are strong, grounded, and grateful. Now look, this isn't about making money. You already nailed that part. And it's not about how my investment firm with over $400 million in assets can help you build generational wealth. Money's not the problem. In fact, for most of you watching, money flows faster than time. Grow up so soft. How do you make sure your kids don't grow up soft, spoiled, and ungrateful? Because the mansion, the drivers, the jet, they're not the problem. It's when your kids think that's normal. That's when your legacy is on life support. So 7 things to raise kids that are not spoiled and entitled kids. Start doing these 7 things. How many things? I said 7 things. Okay, here we go. Number 1, stop protecting them from discomfort. Let's get real for a second. Entitlement isn't something kids are born with. It's something they're trained into. Entitlement is a cumulative experience of feeling frustrated and then having someone else immediately give you success. So when you have money, that cycle is dangerously easy to replicate. So we give you an example from my childhood. When my family were in Thailand, we were an up-and-coming business family. My father was self-made, respected, but humbled. Now, my older brother went to a very prestigious elementary school, the kind of school where politicians and CEOs send their kids. It was elite. But even though we had nice things, my parents never cared about flexing. One day, my brother might be picked up in a Mercedes, but the next, be a pickup truck. Because to my family, a car was just a vehicle, not a status symbol. But here's the contrast. One of my dad's closest friends also had a son in the same class, same age, same school, different wiring. One afternoon, the kids were lined up outside the school with their teachers, waiting to be picked up by their parents. My dad pulls up to get my brother and just asks my brother was stepping in the car, they heard this loud explosion of noise behind them. Screaming, crying, total chaos. So my dad looks out the window to see what's happening. It's his friend's son. 6 years old, full-blown meltdown. Why? Because he wasn't picked up in his Mercedes. Yes, he saw the driver pull up in a Japanese car and he lost it. He started yelling, "I'm not getting that cheap car," screaming in front of all his classmates. A tantrum at 6 because of the brand of the car. Now let's pause. That kid wasn't evil. That family wasn't neglectful. But somewhere along the line, frustration turned into rescue, and the rescue turned to expectation. And now that expectation had calcified into entitlement. That's how it starts. Every time a child is frustrated and someone swoops in with a shortcut, they start believing discomfort is unnatural, that disappointment is injustice, that a different car is a personal attack on their identity. And here's the danger. If they never learn how to tolerate tension, they will never learn how to handle rejection, setbacks, or life when it doesn't bend their way. So yes, you could smooth the path, you could upgrade every experience, but when you do, ask yourself this. Am I raising a child who's resilient or one who's just well upholstered? Because comfort can become a trap, and sometimes the best gift you can give your kids is the ability to feel frustrated and not be rescued. Number 2, stop giving without teaching. Let me tell you something I learned the hard way. Just because you can give doesn't mean you should. We think giving money is generosity, but without context, without conversation, and without consequences, giving becomes disabling. Here's what I mean by that. When we grow up poor, we see education and a good job as a ticket out of poverty. And for many, it is. But let's be real, right? The ticket can become a trap, but that's for another video. Because once you don't need money, you have to ask, what's the money for? For a lot of people, especially the next generation, money becomes a way to satisfy, not to survive, not to grow, just to soothe. It becomes a way to upgrade every discomfort, to buy pleasure, to buy escape. And when that happens, money stops being a blessing and it starts being a burden. And that's why it's critical, especially in affluent families, to teach kids that money is earned, not gifted. I have a friend who started out as an Uber driver and now runs an 8-figure coaching business. But here's what really impresses me is how they raise their family. Every time I go to a conference or a mastermind, I'll see them. And this is not the mom or the dad. The kids are there too. They're not tagging along for screen time. They're actually there to listen, to take notes. They're asking questions at 10 years old. 10. I don't know about you, but at 10, I couldn't sit still for 10 minutes, let alone 10 hours a day for 3 days straight. So one day after the event, I asked the youngster, Oliver, what are you working on now? I already knew that his older brother, he's running a short form video editing company at 16. And that Oliver looks at me and says, I'm starting a custom sticker printing business. I'm working on the startup costs and how much seed money I'll need. He didn't ask for a handout. He talked about a business plan. And that's when it hit me. This isn't accidental. It's intentional parenting. And it's the same thing we encourage in our multifamily investment community, Wealth Beyond Me. We love when families bring their kids on investor calls. When a 12-year-old hop on Zoom and start asking about cap rates or passive income, we know something is working. Because money at that point isn't just for flexing. It's not about the brand of shoes or the square footage of your bedroom. If you want them to grow up with wisdom, grit, and gratitude, don't just give them a trust fund. Give them a training ground. Number three, stop hiding the struggle. Here's what I believe with every fiber of my being. If your kids don't know what it took to build it, they won't know what it takes to protect it. A lot of well-meaning parents hide the hard parts. They never talk about the tension, the layoffs, the lawsuits, and the almost lost it all moments. They do it to protect their kids. But here's the problem. Protection without perspective breeds delusion. And delusion is how you end up with million-dollar bank accounts and a bankrupt character. Because this is where I think my parents, though unintentionally, actually did something right. There was a time when my siblings and I were spoiled rotten. We were in elementary school and our parents' business was booming, like minting money level booming. If new Jordans dropped, PK had them on the same day. New gadgets, my brother had already taken them out of the box. New Barbies, Nan had already gotten them added to her collection. We didn't ask if, we asked which color. We'd run around our parents' office like we owned the place, literally doing wild, completely inappropriate things, and we get away with it all the time. One time, get this, I blew compressed air directly into an employee's ear. She said she went temporary deaf, like literally, and no one even reprimanded me for it. Why? Because she was afraid of what would happen if she told my parents, which by the way, nothing would have happened to her. My parents would have yelled at me, basically. And that's how unchecked we really were. It got so bad, and I can remember this super vividly even now. An adult employee actually pulled me aside and said, I don't understand how your parents let you guys act like hooligans. You're gonna end up mafias or drug dealers. Now, of course, I gave her some smart aleck response at the time, brush it off like it didn't bother me. But let me tell you something, I still remember that comment. And when something sticks that long, it's because a part of you knows it was true. And here's the part that changed everything. The money, it didn't last. My parents hit one of those financial downturns, a hard one. Practically overnight, the abundance that we were swimming in, it evaporated. And let me tell you, it shook us and it humbled us, woke us up, because it taught us a lesson most kids don't even get until they're adults, if ever. This lifestyle, these shoes, this status, this power, it can disappear. And no amount of whining, flexing, or first-class tantrums can stop it. That reality check did more for our character than any shore charts or lecture ever could. So parents, if you've had hard times, don't hide them. Use them. Tell your kids about the tough months, the bounce checks, the seasons where you had to choose between payroll or your own salary. Let them understand that wealth isn't guaranteed, it's guarded, and that every dollar has a backstory. Because if they never learn the story behind wealth, they'll grow up thinking that they're entitled to the ending without ever understanding the plot. Number four, stop thinking legacy is just legal. Some of you guys spend more time designing your estate plan than your family values. You hire the best attorneys, bulletproof trusts, and perfectly structured tax shelters. But here's the problem. You've built a fortress of wealth with no soul inside. You don't pass on legacy with a will. You pass it on with words, presence, and example. For example, have you written a letter to your children about what you believe? Do they know the story behind your business? Could they explain the values your family lives by even if you weren't around? If not, you haven't built a legacy. You just transferred a liability, because legacy isn't just about assets. It's about alignment. Do they know who they're supposed to be? Not just what they're going to get. Number five, stop treating philanthropy like a tax strategy. Let's talk about one of the most powerful antidotes to entitlement and one most misunderstood, charity. Now, I'm not just talking about writing a check. That's not charity. That's compliance. When we talk to billionaires and centimillionaires, people who built massive fortunes and still managed to raise grounded, compassionate children, we always ask them this one question. What's your secret? And you know what they say? Charity, but not the lazy kind. Not the here's some money, now leave me alone kind. They send their kids, they take them to orphanages, shelters, villages, anywhere people are living a different reality. To show them that not everyone eats, caviar, not everyone flies private, and that the majority of the world lives in a year with what they might have wanted to spend on a purse. And you know what happens when a child experiences that contrast? They stop seeing wealth as a mirror of who they are and start seeing it as a tool for what they can do. Because if your child never sees need, they'll assume comfort is the baseline. And if comfort is the baseline, they'll grow up incapable of gratitude. They won't just feel entitled to more. They'll feel inconvenienced by anything less. That's why real philanthropy needs participation, not just money. Time, sweat, presence, pack meals, walk shelter dogs, visit hospitals, look people in the eyes and understand we are not better. We are blessed. And that's exactly the kind of shift my sister and I are working on ourselves. For years, we've talked about starting an animal rescue charity, but we keep saying we just need to hit X first. Let's wait until we've made Y. Always after the next big deal, the next big goal. But after sitting down recently with a few billionaires, something they said really hit us like a bolt of lightning. Don't wait. Start giving now, not later. Now. And they were right. Legacy doesn't begin when you reach a certain number. Legacy begins when you decide to stop putting it off. So we're starting it. And here's the best part. We're designing it to be intergenerational. It's not just about rescuing animals. It's about inviting families, kids included, into the work so that instead of just asking mom and dad for spare change to drop in the donation jar, they're part of the change. They're brushing, feeding, walking, serving, raising money for the foundation. They're learning that giving isn't passive. It's powerful. So stay tuned for that announcement once we're ready to launch. Number six, stop elbowing the money talk. Let's talk about one of the biggest taboos in wealthy families, talking openly about money. You'd be shocked how many kids from ultra-high net worth homes grow up knowing almost nothing about their family's financial position. Not because they're not curious, but because someone decided if they know how much we have, they'll get spoiled. Newsflash! If you're not already doing the other six things on this list, they probably already are. And by avoiding the money conversation, you're not protecting them. You're actually programming them with three dangerous messages. Money's evil. Money should be hidden. Money should be someone else's job. And that's how you end up with trust fund kids who treat wealth like Wi-Fi. They expect it to always be there without ever knowing how it works. And that silence, it doesn't produce wealth. It produces warped relationships with money where your kids either fear it, worship it, or waste it. Let me give you a historical example. Louis XVI of France, he was born with unimaginable wealth and privilege, literally royalty. But his father died when Louis was young, and he was never really properly trained in statecraft, politics, finance, or leadership. By the time he inherited the throne, he had no meaningful education on how to rule. So what happened? Poor decisions, bad economic policies, failure to understand the pain of his people, and eventually, revolution. King was publicly executed, not because he was evil, but because he was unprepared, because someone thought he was too young, too delicate, or too royal to be burdened with real knowledge. Sounds familiar? We do the same thing to our kids today. We don't tell them how much things cost. We don't show them the mechanics behind passive income, tax strategy. We don't involve in investment discussions. And then when they hit adulthood, we hand them a portfolio and say, steward it well. But they can't because you never taught them how. So here's what's recommended instead. Bring your kids into age-appropriate conversations about money. Let them sit on investor calls. We love when families do this with us. Show them real numbers. Let them see both the wins and the losses. And if you're worried they're just going to ask for more money, give them more responsibility instead. Teach them to read a P&L, profit and loss statement. Have them report on small investments. Give them a real-world challenge like starting a small business, contributing to rental analysis, or managing monthly budget. Because here's the truth, money doesn't corrupt kids, silence does. So don't raise a crown prince who inherits the castle but has no idea how to lead. Raise a leader who's fluent in law, finance, generosity, and stewardship. Because a prepared heir doesn't just protect the fortune, they multiply it. Number seven, stop believing you have time. This one hurts because it's a lie even the smartest parents believe. We'll talk about values next summer. I'll involve them on our investments after the next round closes. We'll do our family legacy retreat once things slow down. But here's the reality, your kids are learning now. Every day you delay is a day they're learning, just not from you. And the story I'm about to share is one I'll never forget. My cousin had an incredible boss named Paul. He was the director of all of Boots Asia, a well-known UK-based retail giant. He was based in Thailand. He was a powerful executive, sharp leader, beloved by his team. But more important than that, Paul was a good man, a recent widower, and a father to a wonderful 13-year-old son. Paul had built wealth. He had built position. But what he hadn't built was time. And one day, Paul died suddenly, a stress-related heart attack brought on by the very job that gave him so much. In a single instant, his son was left completely alone. No mother, no father, and worse, no preparation. No roadmap, no guidance, no understanding of what money meant or how to steward what he had just inherited. Paul had every intention of teaching his son, but like so many of us, he thought he had time. He was busy growing the wealth, but he ran out of time to grow the wisdom. And that's the thing about time. For those who desperately grasp for more of it, you never have enough. And for those who believe they have all the time in the world, they rarely use it well. We think legacy is what we leave after we're gone, but your kids, your future, future, they need it now. Don't wait until your children are ready, because they're already absorbing beliefs about money, power, character, and worth every single day. The question is, are they learning that from you or from TikTok, from your financial philosophy or from your financial silence? Legacy doesn't begin with a trust fund. It begins with a transfer of truth. And the clock is ticking. I believe these 7 things are a good place to start, so you don't have to raise spoiled and entitled kids who can't function without a handout or a shortcut. Let me keep it real with you. I recently heard about this ultra wealthy family. We're talking serious money, who had to hire a specialist to come in and crisis manage their kids' behavior because things got so out of control. But here's the thing. By the time you're paying someone 6 figures to try to fix your grown children's entitlement, it's almost always too late. The key isn't fixing later, it's training earlier. The most important thing you can do is start now.
We can't wait to begin this journey with you. Check us out at thekittysisters.com/podcast.